video service. That was created in 2020. And we all know 2020 was one of those, everybody's at home. A lot of people are streaming or watching things at one time. That allowed customers that didn't want to have these building pieces together. They wanted more of a managed solution. So they were able to easily connect to Amazon Interactive Video Service. It honestly takes, I think if you go on YouTube, somebody did a video how to set that up in 5 minutes.
You are now listening to Cloudy with a Chance of Awesome. Here are your hosts, Hayden Chase Kuzma and Benjamin King.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Cloudy with a Chance of Awesome. Thank you for joining us, and thanks for tuning in. Ben, great to see you. Welcome to an exciting episode. How are you doing today, my friend?
Yes, doing very well and very excited about this episode, right? This is going to be a topic I feel like everyone likes. You know, once again, I always get ahead of myself, right? So I'm like, all right, let me just scale it back. I don't want to give the big surprise away when it comes to this episode. Hayden, let's kick things off. What are you drinking today?
Yeah, I think today, Ben, I did something I typically am not doing, right? It's the afternoon after lunch. I'm usually doing a diet soda of some sort, right? We're big Dr. Pepper fans or a Coke fan, but I today have some green tea, iced green tea I have myself. It's been pretty good. It's been doing the trick for me this afternoon. So something different, but it was a good choice, I think, in my opinion. And you, what are you having today, Ben? What do you have?
Nice, nice. Oh, that's exciting to hear. So mine's a bit boring. I'm back on my hydration kick.
Nice.
So it's water for me. I'm a bit behind today, so I'll be, you know, chugging along and hopefully catch up.
And do you have goals like Ohm did? I know on our last episode, Ohm mentioned he's chasing the, I think it was 3 liters, 3 or 4 liters he was trying to drink.
Yeah, I'm up there in the ballpark. Do I reach it each day? No.
Yeah, it's tough. I hear you there. I hear you. But Ben, I mean, a lot's been going on recently, and I know this might give away a little bit of the episode we have today, but let's talk a little bit about what you've been watching in your free time. I know it's going to be relevant to later on in the conversation, but curious where you are right now in your viewer journey.
Yeah, so, you know, I categorize myself a bit of a nerd, if you will, right? So been catching up on a lot of the Disney Plus shows when it comes to, you know, a lot of new Star Wars items out. So just finished the new season of Andor and then, you know, catching up on a few of the Marvel shows I missed. So. Yeah. You know, that's essentially what I've been doing in my free time. Hayden, curious to hear a bit more about yourself.
Listen, I always say this. Spring comes along. After work, I am out of commission from 7 p.m. till a little after midnight. I've been tuning into the NHL playoffs. Unfortunately, my team, the Buffalo Sabres, didn't make it this year or in the past 15 years. But I tend to watch the good hockey that I can, so I've been glued to it. My fiance and I recently went to the Capitals game here in Washington, so that was electric. But I've been tuning in there, and it has been so incredible to see. And even more exciting is the kind of analytics I've been viewing now a little bit more with the playoffs and with the sporting events that I've been seeing in the background. I've really enjoyed that. So it's really amazing, Ben, how much high-quality content we have at our fingertips. And to your point with Andor and Marvel, like these shows are just constantly being put out and available for us viewers to tap into and to consume. So I've really been enjoying that, and seeing how much of that is really powered by the cloud is exciting for us.
Yeah, the more I look into it, I'm just fascinated, right? The complex infrastructure that's behind all that, right? You know, hey, a quick click of the remote and we're able to see our favorite content, whether that be sports or, you know, shows, movie, what have you. And there's so much that goes on behind the scenes that, you know, necessarily I just didn't understand, you know, how intricate it was, right?
Got it. And then, Ben, we, as good as that was here, we wanted to plan a little bit of a segment before the episode to kind of get everybody in the edge of their seat of the topics, if you didn't read the title already. But today we're going to be discussing media and entertainment in the cloud. Now, this is something that's a real fascination of mine and a real interest point of mine. And the two guests we brought on today are pivotal folks here at AWS to talk to the topic, and we're excited to have them. So if you don't mind, Dexter, Madvi, please hop on, and we'd love an introduction, and thank you again for joining us. Madvi, we can start with you, and Dexter, if you don't mind the same.
Thanks, Hayden. Nice to meet you, Ben. Hello, everyone. I am Madhavi Vana. I am a solutions architect at Amazon Web Services. So I primarily support the media and entertainment industry customers, mostly like the publishers, the media houses and talent agencies, as well as a few telco customers. I'm pretty new. I've been with AWS for just 2.5 years now, and excited for the podcast today.
Incredible.
Thank you, Hayden. Thank you, Ben. My name is Dexter Doyle. I'm a senior solutions architect at AWS. Amazon Web Services. I'm also part of the media entertainment technical field community within AWS. So that just means I specialize in some of the AWS services on the media side. And also I have a passion for music and radio. So I DJ on the side. Awesome. I'm just looking forward to this discussion.
Awesome.
And yeah, I'm very excited, right? I feel like we have the best folks on that we could have when it comes to this topic. But yeah. Every episode that I've got the most out of, there's always two guests, right? So I'm very excited to really dive in and understand a bit more. You know, should we kick things off when it comes to the recent NAB show? I know there was quite a bit that AWS played in the role when it comes to like media and entertainment use cases. Just kind of curious, like what were some of the highlights and new releases, you know, regarding that?
Yeah, so at NAB, I was there, and I was actually there helping support in the expo for AWS. One thing that I liked was that they're really focusing more on different platforms. So just like how we're on a podcast platform, Riverside, we had a whole section dedicated to radio and broadcast. And that's something that we see as a new trend because it's not broadcast isn't what we typically think of broadcast of just people watching stuff from their TV. Now you have people watching things online from their mobile devices. So AWS's real focus at NAB, the tagline was create, connect, and captivate. So really, how can we enable customers to create content, connect these new workflows, and captivate audiences? And one announcement that really stuck out to me was we announced a new foundational model called Amazon Nova Sonic. And what this model is, it's speech-to-speech. So especially with M&E, a lot of my customers, for example, they don't want to invest in a whole customer call center. They can actually use generative AI to be able to have sort of a mini call center in which it's something that somebody can call in, get advice, and leverage Gen AI to be able to assist them in a low-cost manner.
Awesome. And I'm seeing a lot of customers kind of with that quick thinking to just kind of modernize certain aspects of the business, because I think something Ben and I talk a lot about on the podcast is customers sometimes like to start small and work their way up to the bigger fish in the pond. So finding these new entry points that AWS is introducing is really exciting. One of those exciting areas that I wanted to talk about a little bit when I was putting this together is I want to spend a moment and discuss a little bit on how Gen AI is transforming the content creation and production workflows in M&E. So as we say M&E, I mean media and entertainment, but I'm curious if there's any examples of really what AWS services are driving that transformation or anything that comes to mind when I ask that question to either of you.
Yeah. Maybe I can start off. And also just going back to the NAB, NAB, I wasn't part of that. I wanted to be there for sure, but I missed it this time. But oh, there's always next. There's also Amazon Gameless Streams. It's not for gaming, but this is quite big and exciting for the gaming industry. So this is a streaming service that basically allows the developers to stream games directly instead of going through that downloads or extra installations. So this is pretty exciting. I'm looking forward to this. And also to answer your question, Hayden, on the generative AI, there are multiple, the whole suite of AWS services. There's Amazon SageMaker if you want to build it ground up. There is Q, there's Bedrock. That Bedrock offers that suite of generative AI foundational models that you can choose from. And Dexter brought up Amazon Nova Sonic. So I'll probably bring up the other Nova foundational models, which is the Nova Canvas, that basically lets you generate that high quality images just with a prompt. This makes our lives so easy. Just with a simple text, it's creating an image. You could probably use that for advertising or anything in the future. If you want to change the background, don't have to download all those tools to like change the background or retake that image. Just a prompt, object swap, it does it for you. There's Nova Reel as well going that, taking a step further into generating that 2-minute videos, again, could be used in the for the ads. You know, just a short reels that is through Amazon Nova Reel, you know, just like the name says. This, if you want to make any like camera angle shifts or change the styles, all of that is possible in Nova Reel. So this is exciting for me personally. Dexter, if you want to add anything.
Yeah, I would say that, especially with Amazon Nova suite of different models, it allows, you know, customers, especially in M&E, to think about how can I market, you know, let's have these shorts, because I feel like that's one of the trends we see in the market, in which everybody's going to be watching a 30-minute video, maybe only have 10 seconds of somebody's time. So it really allows them to really create some more captivating materials for their consumers.
And just to add one more point there, Ben, before, I know you have a question to follow this up, but what's really exciting in all this, and Matt V touched on too, is just this really feeds into the art of the possible. I've been fortunate enough to sit on a few demos of Canvas and Reel, and it's really empowering to see customers kind of sit down and be like, hey, let's do a demo of XYZ. And then, you know, we craft this up and do the live demo for the customer. It's really neat to see where customers kind of see this initial, sometimes it's a funny image, but sometimes this image, and then they turn this funny image of maybe a dog running in an open field into something impactful in their business. You kind of see the gears start to turn in these demos. And that's always really impactful to me, because you see the light bulb go off in the customer's brain and they're like, oh, to Dexter's point, we can turn this into a very short, you know, bit of marketing material for us, or we can use this kind of reimagine something on behalf of our thumbnails or something along this line. I just start to think through some solutions, but I really liked what I saw in this conversation so far off that question. Is really neat.
No, that's exciting. I'm very excited to see, you know, the Gen AI space, how it evolves, right? So Nova Canvas Reels seems very interesting, especially those slight snippets that you need, let's say for like social media content, quick commercial type items of, hey, we need to get in front of customers. So I'm excited to see how organizations leverage and use it. Taking a bit a step away when it comes to like the AI side of things, I'm curious. I'm hearing a lot of new releases and features that organizations can leverage that are in the media and entertainment space, you know, from Media Lake and all sorts of different types of services. I do want to get both of your opinions on, like, you know, what are some of the new releases that you're excited about?
So one new release that I'm excited about that was announced at NAB. NAB was a Module Cloud Studio on AWS. So what Module Cloud Studio is, it allows, like, I've had customers that have been content creators, have their own studios. It allows them to create a cloud-based production environment within hours. And we're actually partnered up with Slalom. So one of the benefits of Module Cloud Studio is that there's a lot of third-party modules in which a customer can also create their own custom modules so that they can keep using products and solutions, ISVs that they were using on-prem, and then bring it to the cloud, but then be able to spin up these different studios in more remote locations. So think about, let's say a studio is filming a film in Europe, they can be able to create a studio there in a matter of hours. So it creates that flexibility and allows them to just increase the speed in the market.
Yeah, and just to add, it's really exciting stuff in the live production side as well. If you're in the broadcasting, you'll just love this. So AWS Elemental Media Services now supports the NDI output as well as the SMPTE input. So this has come out in the March and April blogs. Basically, it's making the cloud-based live production way more accessible. And of course, what everyone wants is cost-effective. And finally, we're making everything more user-friendly, trying to make it as easy as possible. And even if you're not a coding wizard, there's Amazon Q, where you can actually use in any low-code to no-code. And we've also improved the render pipeline management with AWS Deadline Cloud. So Deadline Cloud was released last year. This is a fully managed render management service. It's basically a great news for any post-production folks.
I'm sure some of our listeners are cheering right now hearing some of the things Madhvi's saying. I always love seeing it's like the biggest hit home factor is some of our customers are on a call and they're like, hey, you know, this makes my life exponentially a lot simpler and easier to do my day-to-day job, which is great. And as well as just making a lot of these services very much available too, because you have to think too, to some of these folks who maybe at smaller studios, the cloud kind of reimagines how they approach projects and allows them to use some of these cutting edge technologies, to Madhvi's point again, at a low cost. So really exciting there. And I like those features that you brought up. Now, as we move a bit more into the user journey, and we think of how M&E customers are trying to get closer to their customers, to their viewers, you know, how the NHL would love for me to watch every single game and Disney Plus would love for Ben to consume all their content. There's a bit of a system that they have to follow to ensure that the content that is being accessed or shown to me is a bit personalized, right? So without giving away my next question too much, but when you look at media companies, how are they leveraging AWS to do that? How are they using AWS to improve the content personalization and recommendation on their behalf?
I can go. Maybe Dexter, you can add to whatever I'd say. It's the first service that comes to my mind is AWS Personalize, but I don't want to dive into the service itself. To me, it's all about creating that perfect personalized experience whenever, for example, if you're logging into Amazon.com or Amazon Prime or Netflix, you'd like to get that recommendations. And I think that is where you see all these big customers leveraging services like AWS Personalize or SageMaker to, give that to their audiences. But I feel here's the cool part. It's not just about them collecting your data. These systems are making, real-time decisions about what to show next, right down to, choosing which thumbnail must catch your eye. And there's a lot of changes that are coming in all of these different, industries. This, for example, Netflix leverages the AI services like SageMaker and Personalize to create that highly personalized viewing recommendations. And if you use Netflix, you could have actually seen there is because you watched section. And apparently, I was just reading an article which says about 80% of the traction that they get is from that. So that is very fascinating that, sometimes people like to be treated special. So I think this is where the personalized recommendation, it stands out for me.
And I completely agree with Amazon Personalized, especially for, streaming ranking recommendations. Also, one solution I want to mention is Amazon Interactive Video Service, IVS. So Amazon Interactive Video Service is a managed live streaming, but it's not just I'm watching it. One of the benefits of it is because it's a dedicated player SDK that can be used into a mobile app. It allows the end users to be able to interact with the video so you can have shoppable video, so you can really have targeted ads within the content. And an example would be even at NAB, one of the demos that I built was around podcasts like this, in which we'd be able to analyze the transcript so we can see what's the topic that's being talked about. And then we would communicate with another Amazon service, Media Tailor, which is ad insertion. And we would be able to use the context of the transcript to be able to choose profiles for the listeners so that they can get ads, let's say, about sports or around finance, around Gen AI. So it really is that personalization so that you're getting, the audience is getting the right information / things that they're interested in versus just generic information.
That's very, very insightful. And I really do appreciate that, right? It really helps me, I'm non-technical, to really kind of formalize, here's how these, organizations are really optimizing the different services that are out there. I am curious to take a step back, right? When folks think about the cloud and AWS, we think about compute and infrastructure. You know, with the increasing demand for, you know, high quality streaming experiences that do take a lot of infrastructure and compute to give a good user experience, I would love to learn more about how AWS is helping companies scale their infrastructure and really optimize that content delivery.
So on AWS itself, we have a suite of media services, and I would say we look at two different types of customers in which the traditional broadcasters that they have teams for, let's say, ingestion of the, video and then also transcoding it, converting it, and then bringing it to the end user. So we have, for example, services such as AWS Elemental Media Connect and the Elemental appliances that can be able to connect to traditional, thinking about even TV broadcaster cameras, and be able to get that feed into the AWS cloud. Once you get into the cloud, we have several different services to help with, converting it and encoding it, just to make sure that we can get the best user experience. And when I mention encoding, it's more about talking about adaptive bit rate, in which, let's say, my internet is going in and out, or it's a low, bandwidth, I'm able to get a 480p, quality, versus somebody who has really good internet can get 4K, and it really is able to adjust automatically based off the end user's bandwidth. And then also, one of the things that we really work backwards from the customers is that I mentioned earlier that we have Amazon Interactive Video Service. That was created in 2020, and we all know 2020 was one of those everybody's at home, a lot of people are streaming or watching things at one time. That allowed customers that didn't want to have these building pieces together, they wanted more of a managed solution, so they were able to easily connect to Amazon Interactive Video Service. It honestly takes, I think if you go on YouTube, somebody did a video how to set that up in 5 minutes, because it really is, you set up a video, you can use OBS, output it to IVS, and then you could be able to have it automatically do everything that these other individual components that we have from the Elemental suite build. So I think that's something that is really accessible for audiences that they're not going to have a whole broadcasting team. Maybe it's just somebody who wants to stream something that's on their own.
Yeah, and just to add, here's what I find is very clever on AWS's end is we're not just focused on the speed, but also the efficiency is important, and we've heard that from the customers as well. So using this SPAT encoding technology called QVBR, which is a quality defined variable bit rate, this is particularly new to me as well. But this delivers amazing quality when keeping the bandwidth as well as the costs down. And of course, everything's wrapped up in the enterprise-grade security, as security is the top priority.
Hearing that statistic of 5 minutes setup time and to get results like that, I mean, that is extremely impactful just to hear. I think just back to that time where I feel like everybody was either entering the space or consuming the space, and having to have that ability to enter the space and have that kind of setup time and then output is really neat. Now, Madhvi, you talked about the Netflix use case, which I really enjoyed, but I want to tie together our conversations and kind of put it in a kind of a case study format and share maybe a relevant customer that had a challenge or an innovation in the field that maybe our listeners can take away, a use case or two from this discussion. But is there any customer use case that comes to mind that you can share with us today? And sorry if I'm putting you on the spot, but would love to just hear if anyone is top of mind for you both.
Dexter does have quite a few big customers, but I know I was looking at the documentation. So this Hearst Corporation, this is a multimedia company. Again, going back to a generative AI, of course, it's making rounds. So I'd rather just stick to Gen AI now. So they've actually used Amazon Nova to enhance their subscriber experience. So by using the AI to extract the detailed insights as well as summaries from, their video content, they've dramatically improved their content research as well as the creation capabilities. And this was on, I haven't definitely personally worked with them, but it's so fascinating to see that enterprises, as well as, you know, such big companies, as well as the small companies, are trying to, you know, experiment with AI in, you know, today's day and age, where any small movement, you have to be very careful how the impact is going to look like. And Dexter, if you want to add.
Yes, so I know, I guess we started the podcast out with just talking about what we're watching on TV. So one example is Prime Video. And a lot of times thinking about, I think one of my favorite episodes, our shows on Prime Video was Upload. And you might say that happened last year. What Prime Video is using now, and they're testing it out on Fire TV, is Gen AI recaps. So not just recaps of the last season, but you can actually do a recap on demand within the episode or midpoint during the season. So I think that's one of those in which a lot of listeners can relate to, because I honestly forget sometimes. I watch so many different shows. If it's not something I'm keeping up with, it's hard to be like, oh, what happened last season? So that's just a pain point, I would say, that other, you know, TV watchers or streamers probably can relate to. And then another use case is, I see this a lot within media entertainment customers. It's with the BBC, in which they just have a lot of archived data, in which when you've been around for a long time, what are you going to do with that data? And I would say with the BBC, they wanted to be able to archive 16 million assets. And on-prem, where are you going to store that? So that's where you can look at the cloud, AWS, because the benefit of doing that is, of course, you have many more options of storing that and storing at a lower cost. But then once you transport it to the cloud, that's where you can have the media lake, the data lake, to really analyze, use machine learning to maybe have highlights from something that was 90 years old and see how you can connect it with present day content. So you create that flexibility of bringing the data and then seeing how you can expand the value of the data that you may have just had sitting around.
We just wrapped up that episode too, of like doing more with your data and being able to reimagine what you can. So that really drives from a good point, especially with the BBC. And then to your point with the recap, I mean, I plus one that completely, because at times I'll watch something the night before and maybe forget bits and pieces of that before the next episode. Or in some cases, there's season one, but season two doesn't come out for 14 or so months. Mm-hmm. And there's a bit of disconnect there. So extremely relevant in that regard. I have one last question I'm going to leave you both with, and this is one I always enjoy asking our guests, because it really lets our listeners kind of understand where subject matter experts like yourselves see the specific industry or topic we're talking about progress into the future. So let's just keep it a very blanket statement. You know, when looking at the tech or trend, you know, we'll see, where do you see the biggest tech trend impacting the M&E industry in the next few years? And I'm curious where you kind of interpret that question and where you take it, but I'll leave it there and I'll let you both kind of answer and hear your thoughts here.
Yes, I'll start. So I've been at the NAB conference for the past 3 years, so I've been able to see some of the trends evolve. One would say just goes back to that end user experience, making that more immersive. So even last year, I remember seeing more augmented reality, virtual reality. How can we be able to give like the end user more customization? So like for this example, I know that we're audio only, but maybe in times there's ways to just have an avatar, in which I saw, for example, a partner of AWS building on Amazon, the interactive video service, in which you can actually have a human-like avatar that would track my motions, so that if I raise my hand, it would raise its hand too. It would actually change its mouth, so it shows speaking. So for somebody who, let's say they have a bad hair day, they want to be on camera, you have that full-fledged avatar. But then also, I really see the power of, let's say, generative AI, especially for some of the workflows that we're not privy to. So a lot of these media entertainment companies, they have, you know, let's say they have to go through scripts. So I've worked with companies that they want to analyze scripts. That's usually a manual process of seeing whether they get the green light or not. This is something that let's say you take hundreds of scripts that would have taken days, weeks to be analyzed, you can do that with generative AI now in a matter of minutes. So it's one of those in which I think that will allow a lot of companies to either be creating more materials, more content in a shorter amount of time, but then also be able to really listen to their end users, their audiences, to try to create things faster. So let's say there's something trending, they could probably create a TV show within a matter of weeks versus a longer time period.
Yeah. And just to add, Dexter did mention about the immersive experiences. We're seeing a rise of immersive experiences. Just look at what AWS showed at NAB with their interactive broadcast demos. And it actually won the NAB 2025 Product of the Year in streaming. This cloud-based production that is becoming the norm and making high-end content creation more accessible to anyone, not just to like bigger studios, it's also to the smaller studios. And what's really exciting is how data analytics, which actually made rounds a few years ago, is still, you know, if you ask me, it's still there. We still need data. Is enabling the hyper-personalized content or, you know, for the viewer experiences. We did discuss about that before. And we're seeing this beautiful convergence of that traditional broadcasting, you know, within the digital platforms. I feel AWS is right at the forefront of this change. Last year was completely different, where we were not even talking about generative AI, and you know, media companies were being very cautious. To this year, the only thing, I wouldn't say only thing, but at least the 70% of the conversations are about generative AI. And that's a trend that we are seeing. So yeah, really exciting times for, you know, for all of us in the M&E industry.
That's very informative. And just want to thank you both for, you know, jumping on today's episode, giving us that context, right, of what goes on behind the scenes when it comes to, you know, how a lot of folks spend, you know, their free time and leisure, right? It's so easy for us to take for granted the, you know, hey, we have access to all this content, but just understanding the complexity, right, but also the innovation of what's next. I'm just very excited to really stay tuned and see what comes out of the different items for media and entertainment companies. So I want to thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
And yeah, thank you. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to you know, be a part of your podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah, Ben, I think the listeners are really going to enjoy this one. I think the big takeaway from me is just understanding that me as a viewer, I'm going to have a really convenient next few years with consuming content, in my opinion, whether that's sports or catching up on Netflix. I think that experience is just going to get even more personalized and even more consuming, if you will. It's going to be very hard to step away from the screen after I get done at work if I learned anything. But I really enjoyed this one because I think it's relevant to, I would go out on a limb and say almost everybody were consuming content one way or another. And I think hearing from Dexter and Mavi to discuss a little bit about their take and kind of the technology that's behind powering a lot of this, I enjoyed it a lot.
Yes. And my big takeaway is that I'm watching too many shows, so I'm really hoping a lot of folks adapt the Gen AI recap because I could really, really use that.
For sure. For sure. Well, everybody, thanks again for listening. If you're not already, feel free to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Cloudy with a Chance of Awesome. If you're listening on Spotify, thank you. And anywhere other streaming platforms, we appreciate it. And we will see you in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Cloudy with a Chance of Awesome. See you next time.